Blog Talk Radio.
I am stronger.
I am stronger.
So much pain, so many heartaches, so many lies to my face, so many people to walk away, so many words that I didn't say, so much rejection.
Welcome to this episode of SOL Talk Show. You are now listening to SOL Speak Out Loud Productions. Glad to be back with you all this week. And exciting, bringing you some great conversations with your host, TCG. That's right. You have tuned into the number one buzz station. The SOL is bringing you all of our favorite actors, actresses, what's going on in their lives. Basically, we're speaking on the ins and the outs, what projects and present projects and future ones that they'll be working on. Yes, yes, we have the first Inside Edition, the T for you, and I am your girl, none other than actress TCG, coming to you from the SOL Talk Show, and I am joined today by none other than, and I want her to give a quick hello, let the people know that she is here, sitting at the SOL table with us, and this phenomenal actress that I have in the building today is none other than Ellen Pepper, and definitely, Ellen, I would like to say hello to you, welcome you to the SOL table, and how are you doing? Let the people know that you are on that you were at the table.
Hey, everybody. Hello. Thank you, TC, for having me. I am really excited to be here today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, and we're excited to have you too as well. Again, I want to welcome our family that have called in to join in with us today, as well as the family that have clicked on the blog links as well. If you would like to call in and you are on our blog link and you have a question for my special guest today as well as your host, you can call 914-803-4442. Press 1 to speak to our guest or me, your lovely host. The SOL is the place that you want to be. Basically, again, we're giving our lives. We're giving you our journeys. We're telling you how it is in the acting world for us, giving you great, great tips. We're giving you our up and close and personal encounters, our ups and downs, what makes us drive. Are we human? We're giving you all of that today, I promise you. Great news and exciting events definitely are going to be happening. I have some great treats for you later as well, which I'll mention. Here at the Soul Table, we like to let our hair down, give you our lives, and give you some great tips, like I said, and definitely let you know what's going on in the entertainment industry for us. So definitely with no further delays or ados, we're definitely going to dive right on in to, again, who I have in the building with me tonight is none other than Ellen Pepper. This phenomenal woman has been definitely knocking on doors. She has been doing nonstop work in the industry. I definitely want to just dive into some of the things that she's been getting into. Of course, I have a great bio that I want to give you guys some insight onto her, as well as because we're going to be speaking so much to Ellen and what she has going on, I will make sure that we get her social media sites so that you too can continue to follow her as she continues to press down doors and actually make a difference with her acting and with her journey and with her life and her gifts and talents, all right? Again, that was Kelly. I do apologize. We were listening to Kelly Clarkson for Stronger. What doesn't kill you will only make you stronger. So definitely that was Kelly Clarkson. I want to give a big ups to her and that song Stronger. It is such a beautiful song. You guys go out and buy that as soon as you can. Other than that, we thank you again for joining us. Actress Ellen Pepper, how are you doing today?
Oh, I am just awesome. It was a hectic day at the day job, but it's kind of nice to have that moment to just kind of sit back and take a deep breath and just kind of let everything go and lay everything at God where it needs to be.
Absolutely, definitely, and that's very important. One of my favorite sayings, of course, on the Speak Out Loud show too, as well as at the end, I love to tell people to just take, I dare everyone to take 10 seconds out of their day. I know we have busy schedules, we have deadlines to meet and plans and time management, and we're taught that, but I always tell people take 10 seconds to just stop, freeze in time, take a deep breath, close your eyes, open them up, and look around you and see the blessings that are right there within that 10 seconds. You'd be surprised what God can show you in 10 seconds.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. So I appreciate you even, you know, taking out the time and taking that breath and having a moment too as well. So I want to kind of just quickly dive into what was your day? I know that you said you had kind of a hectic day, but what is a day for Ellen?
A day for Ellen is getting up in the morning and getting a quick breakfast and getting ready for work and packing lunch and then going to work and working 10 to 7 or 10 to 8 and then going home and trying to take that time to just kind of relax and let go of the burdens for the day. And it was funny because on my way back today and thinking about the interview today, the thought kept coming to mind where Jesus said, pick up thy cross and follow me. And it's like, you know, God didn't tell us it was going to be easy. Taking up your cross off obviously should tell you that it's not going to be easy. But when at the end of the day, it says, lay your burdens at my feet. And so, you know, that's kind of the plan for the day. Pick up the cross, take on the load, go do what you got to do. And at the end of the day, just let it go.
Right, and the letting go.
And so that's what my day is like.
Yes, yes, I understand that firsthand. And to me, with the letting go, I think that's, it's like you gain so much more from that day and able to release, you know, all of what, whether if it was good or bad or indifferent. but letting it go and being able to just say, okay, now I'm on to the next, and I can relax until, you know, it's my time again to do whatever I have to do, which is an Ellen
exactly.
So I understand that. Well, I wanted to quickly just give you a hats off again. I don't like to sound like I'm trying to boast people up or anything like that, but definitely I always ask everyone to send me kind of something about themselves. And, of course, you were able, you sent a great, great bio about yourself, which I'm definitely going to read. But also, too, as well, I wanted to hit into your IMDb, too, as well. I had kind of Googled you to see what else was out there about you, too, as well. And I was just looking at some of the projects. You know, I've had a pleasure of being able to work with you, too, as well, and hoping to work with you some more as well future projects as well. I know we have some great things brewing in the pot, so we'll talk about later or whatever have you, or what we can talk about. But definitely I've seen that you, I mean, you're building your credits when it comes to IMDb. You're definitely not just an actress, but you're also knocking down the doors on the, not just being in front of the camera, but behind the camera scenes as well as production manager and taking on those type of roles too as well. So not only are you doing the acting, but you're taking on, you know, the professional side of the backside of it as well. And that's, I have to give you a hats off to that because I always tell everybody, and this is the reason, oh, you're welcome. The reason for the SOL show, Ellen, is because we see, you know, and family and friends, all of us, we watch TV, we see each other doing our things, and we're laughing and we're crying, you know, for the moments of the characters that we take on. But no one really pays attention to the stress or the journey that it took to get to that point, which is the behind the scenes. And to me, you know, I can embrace loving the behind the scenes because so much goes on, especially when you have, you know, so many different characteristics and people and coming together to do one thing and produce something great, but yet there's so much that goes on and you know, because everybody's not a robot, so nobody's thinking the exact same. So you deal with a lot behind the scenes, and yet and still, the show must go on, you know, that yet and still, there's still a deadline. Yet and still, there's a film that still has to be produced. So, you know, everyone sees the outcome, but no one really knows about, you know, the journeys that we take to get to those and what keeps us, you know, striving for those outcomes. So that's what I like
absolutely.
To talk about.
Yeah, that behind-the-scenes thing is if people only knew what it took just to make one scene of a movie.
Right.
It's like one that hasn't come out yet, White Boy Rick, I worked on with Matthew McConaughey. And the one scene that we did, it took about 10 hours to do the one scene. Now, when it hits the theater, that'll probably be about a 30-second, maybe a minute scene. And it took 10 hours. And there were people that were running mechanics in, you know, behind to get the props to do everything, the balloons to go up. Those balloons had to come back down and go back up a dozen times.
Right.
And so,
imagine that.
And so, you know, there's a crew to do that, and then there's a crew that does cameras, and there's a crew that does sound, and there's a crew that does makeup and costumes. And there's just so many people that are involved in that, and in that whole process. And if anybody had any idea what it took to put together one one-minute section of a two-hour film, they would go, are you kidding?
I'm trying to tell you, definitely. And probably, you know, and I'm not saying that everyone's a quitter, but more than likely about 9 out of 10 will probably walk away like, okay, I'm done. I just can't do it. And that one person that stayed is, you know, that's how you know that if it's gifted for you and if it's something that you're meant to do versus actually something that you just like to do and want to try out. And that's why I definitely like talking. I love to talk about our accomplishments, but I love to talk about the behind the scenes because, you know, our fans really don't know. Our families really don't know. They see you, like I said again, you know, doing so, oh, look at Ellen. Oh, I'm so proud of you. And, oh, my goodness, I've seen you in this and I've seen you in that. But they don't realize that you just spent 10 hours, like you said, on a scene, which is fun and well worth it and great work. But at the same token, for something that probably is going to be 30 seconds to 60 seconds of actual footage, you know.
if you get to see you on there at all.
I'm telling you, you just might be cut, you know. You might have did your take and had like a few lines and like, oh, wow, I killed
it. And it ended up
so
in the trash.
Sure. Right, exactly. And it's nothing personal. It's just it probably didn't jive with what they really wanted, you know, or sometimes you have great mm-hmm. ideas and you're throwing this and that in there, but yet and still once you get ready to do the editing process and putting it all together, it has to all flow, so, it you know, you just might miss out.
And then right. And it's funny that you say that it's funny that you say it's nothing personal because one of the things that I have done to try to better myself as an actress is I pay attention to other actors and actresses that are out there and what they say about their craft and how they play the characters and how they handle auditions. And there was one that I was listening to, I believe it was Nicole Kidman, and she said, they told me, don't take it personal. She said, of course I take it personal. Because I'm drawing from something deep inside of me to put that character out there. And when you tell me that what I'm drawing out of myself isn't good enough, she said, of course I'm going to take it personal. But when you do that, you still have to have a mighty thick skin.
Right, you have to have a balance too. It's like, yes, take it personal because you want growth, and maybe mm-hmm. it's something that you may not have done wrong, but in the case that there was something that you might have been able to see later on, if you're blessed to get that footage, you know, once it is thrown out or whatever have you, then you're able to go back and say, okay, well, what can I do different, you know, and grow from that mm-hmm. experience or whatever, or how
exactly.
can I present myself even more to make sure that they know they don't want that scene. I did it so well and so good that they said, you know what, we can't cut that scene. We just need it. You know, so I, mm-hmm. I get what Nicole was saying with that, too, as well. It's like you kind of got to have that nonchalantness about it so that you can keep pushing mm-hmm. forward, but then you also got to still take a back and be humbled enough to say, you know what, on to the next one. I'm not going to – it's not me that they don't like. It's not even mm-hmm. sometimes the character that they don't like. It's just it didn't fit, you know, or it wasn't enough
right.
time. Because, you know, that's another thing that plays into play, too, as well, when it comes to filmings, is that you may have a film that is only to be an hour long. And, of course, with networks, we know that they have guidelines and they have time frames. And you cannot be over, you know, I don't care who you are, you cannot be over, you know, that time frame. And so,
right.
unfortunately, you might have been in a scene where it had to get cut because of time. You know, that's what I said,
mm-hmm.
we can't... We always have to pinpoint, and to me, I get what she was saying, too, as well, Ellen, and I'm glad that you brought that up, too, as well, because then in that case, my question would have been to Nicole would have been, well, because you don't because you do take it personal, and I understand where you're coming from as an actress, you know, one actress to another, what could you have done to, you know, differently, or what could you have done now that you've taken it personal? Could we go back to that film director or the producers and say, hey, is there anything that I could have done different to kind of get notes for ourselves, you know, as to the how to do
mm-hmm.
or what to do next? So that way you still have closure in taking away that it's not just a personal thing, you know what I mean, or a personal attack
mm-hmm.
on you or who you are. So that's something that's a good idea, too, as well. I never thought about it until you just said that, like, if I'm cut from something, I have the right as an actress to go back. You know, especially when you worked on something for a time frame and be like, hey, is there something, you know, was it something I did or is it, you know, just clearing the air? So I think
mm-hmm.
that's also something that, you know, us actors and actresses, we don't look at because sometimes we feel our voices aren't, you know, are just to be for the acting and not to be
mm-hmm.
heard for politics, if you will, on that side of the acting. But I think that
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, part of speak out loud. You have to speak out loud when it's concerning your craft, your gifts, and what you're tuning into and what you're putting your blood, sweat, and tears to, you know. And
mm-hmm.
if you have an odd, by means, please, you know, come to me, especially if I'm a producer. Come to me and, hey, you know, I worked 2 hours with you and I did 7 lines, yet I don't see one of them. You know, so that way we can kind of go over it. I would never want anybody to walk away from something that I produced myself and feel that they were a problem, and you know if you're a problem or not, you know what I mean. There's negative Nancy's
mm-hmm.
and there's positive Patties, but, you know, I would definitely want someone to, or I would want people to feel like they could come to me and be able to
mm-hmm.
ask me those things and me not be so busy to be able to sit down and respect the craft of the actors and the producers and writers and stuff like that. So that's
mm-hmm.
a good point. I'm
yep,
glad
I totally
you brought
that
up.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But Ellen, she was speaking on 2018, White Boy Rick, which is in post-production. I also seen that you, and I don't want to say this name wrong, but I think it's called Hello Au Revoir that you're doing.
Hello Au Revoir.
Au revoir.
Hello, goodbye.
Okay.
Yeah.
I took French, but we're not going to talk about that, that I just pronounced that wrong. It just dawned on me. But Hello Au Revoir is in mm-hmm. post-production as well, and I see that you're playing a mom in that.
Uh-huh. Actually, it was kind of a unique concept. Jay Crute is a director for that. Got with him through Stage 32, which is a network, social network for actors, producers, directors, editors, writers, you name it. There, you can meet them on there. But he contacted me through there and asked me if I would be a part of that. It's just a conglomeration of a lot of actors doing a scene. And then they are supposedly putting it together to make some sort of story out of it. So you got to pick your own scene, your own lines, do what you wanted to do, and send it in. And I had done this audition as a mom for someone else, and what I needed to do was, for that audition, was talk to my child like I'm making a video as my child is young, so that if something happened to me after they turned 16, they would see this video and what it is that I wanted to say to them.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Wow. So that was a touching thing to do, kind of, you know, it's like, and there have been, you know, I don't have any children myself, but there are definitely children that I have come across in my lifetime, because I did childcare for a while. And it's like, if I could say something to all of these kids, be that I would say to them. And so I just kind of drew on that and put that out there. And so they liked it, and they're using it in the film.
Awesome. Awesome. Congratulations to you on that, too, as well. That is really, really good. You're welcome. And then, of course, I know in 2017, I'm going to skip around real quick, but 2017 looks like Little Evil. Now, is that out yet, or is that something that's still in production as well?
That is out. That is on Netflix.
Awesome. And, so you guys can definitely pull that up on Netflix, Little Evil. It's actually, you play a protester. And is that what?
Well, I played a protester, but the protester scene got cut. You don't see any of the protester scene at all. And then I'm also a shopper shopping next to Adam Scott, as he's telling all these evil little things that have been happening to him since he got married to his wife, and their his stepchild is just this horrible little evil creature, and all these horrible, horrible little evil things that have been coming into his life, and he thinks he's Satan's child. So you get to see me in there next to him while he's telling his story about everything that happened, and so that was kind of fun. And then you get to, in the background, you get to see me arguing with my supposed spouse, and but there's all this front scene stuff going on, so unless you really know what you're looking for, you don't even notice us in the background. But you definitely see me in the gun shop there. Army Navy store shopping while he's telling his story. And he's got a pretty gruesome story to tell, but you get to see all that in the film, and I'm not for anybody. Just watch the film. It's really pretty good.
Absolutely. And we're going to make sure that we mention that too, again, for people to go out and actually be able to look at on Netflix. I'm going to watch that tonight. He just gave me my movie for tonight, too, as well, to watch once we get done with the table, too, as well here. And then, of course, we got you in The Reliant. We got you in I Am Wrath, Aftermath, In Search of Fellini. Is that Fellini?
Fellini, uh-huh.
Okay. And then My Blind Brother, of course. And then, of course, the Too Real for You project. Devil with a Smile is the first season for that, of course, and which I'm an executive producer on that, too, as well as an actress on that, too. Mm-hmm. And definitely me and you, we have a close relationship. We can't get too much into it, but definitely since we have a spoiler that is out here, kind of it's a little different than what the pilot actually is going to be a little bit more into. But definitely what we have out at least gives an idea as to what's going to take place in this season coming up of the whole five seasons of Too Real for You. But definitely you play my counselor to my character, and you've been with me basically almost since the childhood age up and, of course, into my adolescence and then, of course, come back introduced into my adulthood. And so we have our ups and downs in relationship. I wanted to kind of give you a real quick before I get into the questions, too, as well, and, of course, your bio. Out of everything that I've named so far, and plus, of course, you've done much more, what was the most funniest character or the most comedic character out of the bunch that you've played?
You know, I don't really think that I've had a very comedic role, except, well, I guess the movie Three that I did with David Walker, we just premiered that last Sunday at the Encore Theater in Niles. Yeah.
Thank you.
Amy in the first one called Help Me, and I would say that's probably my most comedic because I'm a nosy neighbor coming up, walking up on this horrible scene, trying to figure out what's going on, and then somebody pulls out a gun, and you just see me just kind of scream and turn around and run.
Like you just haul-tail out of there, like, okay.
I just haul-tail,
I've
you know, it's like... All you see
that.
Is the backside and running away, and the theater
right.
just kind of really erupted with laughter at that point. And I'm like, oh, my first comedy. Cool.
right, exactly. So on the flip side, though, what would be your most serious role that you played?
The most serious? I would say that would probably be playing your counselor.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes, he goes through a lot. You have to have tough skin, I think, to be the character you are, of course, in the Too Real For You project. To me, I think that you would have to be a tough counselor, not just any type of counselor, but one that knows the books, been around the block a couple times, and can, you know, soothe a soul in the process of not losing her hair with dealing with some of the characters that you have to deal with, especially mine.
For me, that character, it drew off of a personal life experience where someone that I know had been on heroin and drugs and was trying really hard to turn her life around. She ended up leaving the husband that she had been with that got her hooked on all of that, got away from him. She had lost her child by this time. And... She called me up one day and she said, I've got myself clean. I need a job. I want to get my kid back. Can you help me? And so kind of helped her through that a little bit. And then her older sister passed. And she called me up in tears and she said, I want the drugs back. I want the drugs back. I can't do this. And I said, listen, look at everything that you've accomplished. You're smart. Is this going to sound familiar? You're a smart, beautiful young woman. And I said, you can do this.
Right.
You can do this. You don't need the drugs. And whenever you feel like you need them, then you call me. But you can do this.
Wow. Now, that's being an awesome friend. And of course, like you said, you was able to take from life experiences. And that's the thing about it, you know, that I love personally when it comes to acting is when I can take, it doesn't have to be me per se, it could be anybody, but when I can see that it's touching someone in that way, or I see that it's touching me in that way, where I'm there in that moment, or I can relate due to the fact of some experience, like you said, like you've had, and we don't realize, you know, how many people are walking around, and sometimes we, in our day-to-day, we get so busy and so quick to point a finger and sometimes nonchalantly judge, because I don't think that everyone sets out to be a judge, but I believe that we all have judged. And it's not something that, you know, you intentionally always do, but it could be just in the fact of just being busy for the day and someone just crosses your path and you've already had such a day and then, you know, here comes test. And then test is actually testing you and pushing the right buttons and then, of course, you know, we go out, but yet and still willing that back in, we don't realize, you know, who we come and encounter with and what they've been through too as well or what they're going through. And that's part of what I like about Too Real For You is that we touch so much on the mental illness from that stems from childhood or different events happening. And most of the time it's trauma that can cause that mental illness. It's not always hereditary. And then sometimes with the misdiagnosing, because we see an angry person or a person that's just, you know, whatever, then we, they just need a little volume or something just to calm them down. And that could be a misdiagnosis without getting completely to the root of it, you know. But there's so many people, to me, it's so serious, Ellen, there's so many people walking around like that. That's one reason why I really did choose, you know, to take on the Monica character myself, because I'm a comedic person. I love love, and that's my comfort zone, is to be funny. So this was a challenge for me, and it's still a challenge. And I thank God, and I pray to God every day, and I ask Him just to, you know, keep me, but also remove me when it comes to doing Monica, so that way I can really, really tap into, you know, someone that's been through. I've been through some things myself, but never to the point where I've had a mental breakdown. I've had nervous breakdowns and didn't realize it, you know, just, I think that's just being a woman. But nevertheless, you know, at the same token, I was still able to function, and it took a doctor to tell me at that moment, hey, you're having a nervous breakdown, you need to sit down. I'm like, really? Didn't realize it, you know. So, but yet and still, there's people that are walking around that physically have, they just been through, you know, some of life's experiences that just have taken them to a toll. And they don't know their way back, and it takes someone like your character, your counselor Janice, to be able to, you know, will that person back in, or to let them know, hey, you are beautiful, like you did for your friend. You know, you are beautiful. You are needed. You are wanted. So hats off to you for using your experiences and your journey, you know, to portray into a character too, as well, and being able to do so.
Thank you, but I think I got to give God the credit for that one. Because that, when I read the script, what I liked about the script is that it touched on, like you said, so many issues that so many people have in their lives on a daily basis. And they just, you know, they think that there's, you know, let's face it, we all do it. Nobody understands what I'm going through. And that puts it all up there, and it just puts it out there, and it's like, hey, somebody does know what I'm going through. This is pretty wild. And it touched me so much, especially when I read my part, that I called Miss Erlina and I said, why did you pick me for this part? And she said, I just felt led by God to do so. And so, you know, they say God, you go through experiences in life. God lets you go through experiences in life so that you can do something, so that it, you grow from it, but you're also able to help someone else along. Or you don't know what the purpose is that God has for you to go through this, but someday you will understand it. And I think that's where that understanding came in. I went through that with my friend. Then I got chosen to do this, and it's like, now I understand why I went through this with her, because God wanted to be, wanted to prepare me to put that message out there to everybody else. And without that preparation, I wouldn't have had that to draw on and to put that character out there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And thank you. Thank you for that. Great, great advice right there that you just gave too, as well, in the process of that. And of course, to me, I think that we all, that's one thing that when it comes to me for, as well, and I can only speak for myself, but I try to sometimes speak for everyone, but, you know, keeping God first in everything. And, you know, He'll direct our paths. He always allows, He puts the, where there's dark, He always puts a light. So, you know, you might have, like you said, not know at that moment what this happened for, or why you lost this job, or why you gained this job, and then it was taken from you, or whatever had, whatever the case may be. But there's always something positive that can come out of something negative. And that's one thing I took away from school, too, as well, Ellen. I always say this, too, in math class, it never made sense to me in school, but as I got older, it made sense. And it was the fact of saying that two negatives make a positive. And for the life of me, in math, I couldn't get it. I was like, now how in the world? You know, I just couldn't wrap my brain around the reality that two negatives can make, doesn't that make just a super negative? You know, like, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this picture. And, I mean, I just don't see, if I got minus one and I get another minus one, that I'm going to have plus two. You know, so it was just always mind-boggling. But as I got older, and as the journeys and the tests and trials and the ups and downs came along, that actual two negatives turning into a positive, you always need to take a positive, take the negative situation and turn it into a positive, find a positive out of it. And I think that's part of, you know, like with your experience with your friend and stuff and being able to use that. It wasn't a negative experience, but something that, like you said, the devil always, to me, allows us to think on the isolation. He wants to isolate your mind to think, like you said, this is only happening to me, you know, and this is my thing and it's precious. And even though sometimes, I don't know why we do this as people, but I find myself doing it sometimes. I can be going through something and I don't want to share it. And, you know, at the same token, I still feel like, oh, well, you know, this is going on right now and I'm all alone. But yet and still, instead of having someone to talk to about it or to lay it at, like you said, God's feet earlier, sometimes we'll hold on to that because it's like it's ours, it's precious. It's not that we want to hold on to the guilt or the negativity part of it, but it's the experience of what's happening to me and how I'm feeling at that moment that I'm holding on to it to not let it go and release it and not let it be an isolated thing to just myself, if that makes sense. You know, and sometimes I think that we have to realize that that's his only trick that he really has is to try to see if he can isolate you. If he can isolate you, then he can get in your mind. But the more that we keep ourselves busy, and to me that's what's acting, you know, keep yourself busy. We have so many doors out of all the work that we do that closes, you know, that you might get about 1,000 no's in a month, and you might get one yes, you know, and we have to realize that not everything is for you at that moment. Doesn't mean that it won't come back, you know, if it's meant to be for you, but we have to take those like a grain of salt and kind of just, you know, lay it at God's feet and keep it moving. You know, that's
absolutely
part of, I get
and,
that.
And when you're not working, then be learning. Be learning.
Right.
You know, that's still a part of the job. You have on the job training on your regular day job. You know, if you take a new job, you have on the job training all the you know, every day. So why would you think that acting, you know, or a career in the entertainment industry would be any different? Because you get up in front of people and pretend, it's not as easy as you think. Say the same line over 1,000 times and see if you say it the same way twice. Probably not. But when you get up there in front of you have to say it the same way twice. And
you better be in the same spot.
Exactly.
I have a problem with that. I got ants in my pants. You got to be in that same spot. Don't move a pillow. Don't do anything different than what you did
don't
the first time.
Don't flip that hair to the other side.
Right. It's like, was your bang on the left or was it on the right? Get back on the left.
Right.
Like, oh, my bad. Didn't realize.
Exactly.
But it's that tedious.
Right.
You know?
And, you know, if you're an upcoming, you know, if you're just getting started out and you don't have a lot of money to sink into all this training, there, if you search the internet, there is free training out there all the time. All the time.
There are so many great actors, and I'm glad that you mentioned that too as well. There's so many great actors and actresses coming in about, and producers and writers, that they're not cutting the door shut because they, or shutting the door and just, you know, going into their little area. They're actually recording these videos. They're actually putting them out there. Other local actors and community actors, you know, that's what we do. We put it out there for others to be able to take heed and to look at, and that's where I get a lot of my one-on-one acting, coaching, and stuff like that is through the free sites or through, like, Casting 360 and going on there and seeing the different testimonies and different stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you said, that's right. It's available to you, but you have to get up and actually want to do it. We have actors' guilds out here that you can Google. The Actors Guild is for free. It's not something that you pay for. It's just a Wikipedia page concerning the whole thing concerning acting, you know, in the entertainment industry and that portion. So it's just taking the time out for yourself and paying into yourself is what I call it, you know. And you have to pay into yourself, not just physically with money or tangible items, but also with your time, your patience, and your mind, you know, your soul, body. Mm-hmm. Everything goes into play with it. On that note, what are some of your challenges that you faced in acting, and if any?
Oh, the challenges for me has been time. Because when I started out, I was a manager for Radio Shack. And when you're a manager, they expect you to do 55 hours a week. And so to do 55 hours a week and then still find time to go do a scene for the day, and that's the thing I think that's held me back the most at this point, is that if I can't do it in one day, I can't do it because I have a job. That's not paying my bills right now. I have to pay attention to the job that's paying my bills. And I've heard other people say once they decided to commit, you know, totally 100% to just that, then they quit their day job and went off and you know, and did the acting thing. And then my first question to them is, so who do you have in your support group?
Right.
Well, I have my wife or I have my husband, or and they were okay with me doing that and them paying the bills. I'm single. I don't have that luxury of having someone else to pay my bills for me. You know, so I don't have much of a family support group. I'm really just kind of on my own. And so everything that I do, it comes from me. If the bills have to be paid, I have to pay the bills. If I'm going to do an audition, I have to do the audition video. I have to send it out. I have to do the research. I don't have, you know, an agent or a manager that does all that work for me, and then I'm good to go. And so it's really hard. And I know that I was on the set of My Blind Brother and ended up spending the night on that one, because that one was 16 hours. We started at sunup at the beach up in Cleveland, and it was nice, hot day. They were worried about us passing out because of the heat, sand flying everywhere because we're running through the sand, and they got kids playing in the sand and stuff. And then it went into the night, and it got frigidly cold. We're all huddled around fires. There's all these bugs coming from somewhere. I have no idea where they came from. I've never seen a bug like that before. But by the end of the night, it's like I'm staying in a hotel. I had to call work and say, hey, I need you to cover this shift for me tomorrow. Can you do that? So it meant rearranging my schedule. So that's the toughest thing for me, is trying to support myself, pay my bills, find the money to make these trips and do the acting thing. Some of them pay, some of them don't. And if you only take the paying jobs, you're not going to work much.
Right.
Because
right.
They want to see that you're willing to pay the dues.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's very, very true. And then truthfully, if it is pay, most of the time it's not going to really pay a bill. You know, it might just be the gas money that you needed to get back home via the fact of going that far out or whatever have you. Nevertheless, you're taking experience. You're taking so much more than what it, you know, what your pay might be. Yes, every now and then you'll find someone that hits that break and they just, you know, they get lucky. I don't want to say lucky, but they, you know, it was just their time and their season, and
mm-hmm.
they were at the right moment at the right time to receive it, you know.
Right.
But at that moment in time, sometimes reality kicks back in, and not everybody's that fortunate to have that type of situation happen. So, you know, like, you do have to grind. You do have to bust
mm-hmm.
your behind, but you do have to make sure that you're healthy doing it and that you're safe doing it. And the only way to do
mm-hmm.
that is to take care of yourself first, of course, and allow God to help take care of the rest. I believe in faith and stepping out on things, but I don't believe that faith and stepping out always has to be the same type of a jump that everyone, you know.
It doesn't mean jumping into a river with a heavy undertow.
Right, exactly. It doesn't mean that you have to go, you know, Speedy Gonzales full force and just step out and into the blind. No, it could mean that you're that turtle who just decided to stay focused versus the Harris who was all over the place and should have won anyway, you know. So
exactly.
I think it's always steady and not the slow that runs the race, but steady and focused wins the race. You know, it doesn't matter how fast you go or how slow.
I have a couple of casting directors that I do most of the work with. One is out of Texas, and I've got an audition into her for a major film. It's also a Christian-based film. It's Resurrection Black Easter, and it's kind of going back into time and with some time travelers to stop, because somebody went back in time, I guess is how the story goes, to try to prevent the crucifixion and resurrection. So then another group of time travelers, in which I'm a part of that group, goes back to stop them from stopping the crucifixion and resurrection, because without that, then we have no salvation. So, so I've submitted to her for that one, but with her and the one that I work with in Cleveland, the first two films that I did with them were not paid. And I noticed, because I'm a watcher, I watch people, I watch how they work, I watch what they do, I watch what they say to see what their expectations are. So I know
right.
how to meet their expectations and can work with them more. And
right.
they will, your first couple of films I've noticed are unpaid because
mm-hmm.
they want to see what your work ethic is.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said earlier, are you one of those that put in a 10-hour day and say, I'm not doing this anymore?
Right, right.
They don't want to waste their time, you know, and pay out money to people who aren't willing to put in those hours and do the hard work.
Right.
And so ever since, let's see, the one in Cleveland, Angela Bohm is the one that I work with in Cleveland a lot. My first two with her were unpaid. Every film that I have done with her since has been paid. And then Katrina Katz is Katz Casting out of Texas is whom I'm working with in Texas. And the first film that I did with her was unpaid. Everything that has come across my email from her since then has all been paid options.
Okay, that's awesome. See, and that's the thing. Like you said, you just never know. And to me, it's all about how professional you are. You could be the best actress, you know, or so-called the best actress and actor, and come on and kill it. But if your attitude and your aura stinks, I don't want you back personally myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's just thinking on a directing side. I don't care how good of an, you know, you could be the best thing smoking and get every line within, you know, minutes, and I only have to do one takes with you, but you could be right out the door with your one take self off of your how you present yourself, how professional you are, you know, and like you said, being an observer and watching what that person really wants, not just doing what you feel, oh, I'm an expertise because I've had this training and I know how to
mm-hmm.
do this and I've read the bio for the script for the character I'm playing, so I know, you know, being a know-it-all is basically what it is. I'm not
mm-hmm.
going to sugarcoat it, but, you know, doing that could actually have you right back out the door. So sometimes, like,
exactly.
humbling yourself and finding out what that person wants. You know, it's their vision at the end of the day, no matter what we take on. That's just like if I came onto your set and you had a vision and you gave me, you know, all the rundown and I asked you all the good questions I needed. At the end of the day, I still need to respect your vision and not, you know what I'm saying, make it my own and,
mm-hmm.
and try to, you know, I still have to respect that. And that's how I'm going to get caught back. That's to me
exactly.
how you're going to be rememberable is, you know, them saying, wow, you know, yeah, she did great on scene. Yeah, she was awesome. She fit right in, did exactly what I needed her to do. You know, but you might have
mm-hmm.
10 people doing the exact same thing, so it's nothing really that's probably going to stand out by one of the 10 people, but their attitude, but their professionalism, but their smile, you know, and how they greeted you and how they were attentive to your needs. So to me, that goes a long way. You know, and we have to take that sometimes in consideration. We get happy. What will we accomplish? We get excited at the fact of people coming up to you and, oh, can I have your autograph? And you're like, no, no. You know, but you get all of that, and it's like pride always comes before a fall, or fall
mm-hmm.
comes before the pride, or however that saying goes. But nevertheless, you know, it can happen to you, and you don't mean to be boastful or prideful, but you get so excited. And sometimes we get excited, get worked up, and we have to take a moment to take that breath and come back down to our off of our high horse and realize that, you know, we're here all together and we need each other. It's not you helping me and me helping me. It should be you helping me and me helping you
mm-hmm.
to help us, you know, and
mm-hmm.
that's to me how it has to be. But
mm-hmm.
real quickly, and I want to get into your bio too as well. I'll get into there about the 5 minutes until and then, of course, I want you to give your social media sites, too, as well, as to where
okay.
people can find you and how where people can locate you. But if someone was going to make a movie, make your life into a movie, who would you want to play you?
You know, I don't know. If I was, my first thought would be Kathy Bates.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Because she is such a versatile, you know, she has such diversity in her acting. She is able to do the real serious stuff. She's able to do the comedy stuff. She seems so lighthearted, but yet so serious.
True.
And you just
That's
don't
true.
And that. And And everybody says I look like her sometimes.
I was gonna say you guys could pass for sisters. Although I'm not throwing any shade out there, but you are a lot younger than she is. So therefore,
this
for her
true.
To play you would probably have to be at your once you were older self. For her to play you, not taking away from her beauty.
She just has to dye her hair, that's all.
Right, she has to dye her hair, but yeah. You guys do have a lot of features that are alike, and your face
mm-hmm.
shapes are kind of the same, too, as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually a good one, too, as well. I could see her playing you, and I love her as an actress. She is so funny. She can go from serious mm-hmm. to goofy to, okay, she just made me cry type of scene,
mm-hmm.
you know, in heartbeat. So I do love her. I follow her acting, too, as well. So that was a good pick there. For you, Ellen, what makes a good scene partner?
A good scene partner? Somebody that I can play off of really well. I think especially when we did Too Real for You, Devils with a Smile, in the counseling session, it was so easy to play off of your character, Monica. I think some of that is because I connected with what had happened in my own life. But when you've got somebody that's giving you as much as they want to pull out of you, it makes it so much easier.
Aww.
Does that make sense?
Thank you. And I'm telling you, and it wasn't me, because by the time we got to that scene, because, you know, that we did, I still think personally, and I've researched a lot of different films out here that are being made behind the scenes and things like that. We did almost a historical Guinness Book World Record when it came to that type of a film and the footage that we needed. And it was like the
mm-hmm.
hours and that little bit of time is almost
mm-hmm.
unheard of. People normally will not do that, you know, as professionals, behind the scenes, the production managers, the team, film directors,
mm-hmm.
they normally will not do that because it's an unrealistic time frame that God allowed us to be able to do. And by the
mm-hmm.
time we got to the counselor scene, I was exhausted. I had forgot all lines. You know, and I mean, this is something that we had been rehearsing, and I had down
mm-hmm.
packed, but it was like I couldn't put them into order. It was like they were there, and it was a puzzle that just got shaken up and thrown on the ground. And I had to figure out the pieces in seconds, you know, and be quick on my toes. And I don't know if you saw that, but I'm telling you, I didn't know what line was what and when and where. So I played off of you, too, as well, which was a big help for me.
So thank you.
Definitely.
Yeah,
you're really awesome to work with.
We did that one really fast.
That was really unheard of. I mean, I've talked to several different people and gave that same scenario, and they're like, oh, no, there's no way. You know, maybe one of the days we could, you know, and I'm like, oh, okay. So it's amazing at what you can do that you say that you can't do that actually
mm-hmm.
can be done. You know, but at the same
mm-hmm.
token, you want to take your time and make sure that you're giving out great stuff and that, you know, that you don't have your actors and actresses and everybody from the behind the scenes of what we were talking about kind of earlier, and I didn't quite get into any
mm-hmm.
of that, but the behind the scenes, you don't want people agitated and irritated. So that's, to me,
mm-hmm.
why there's so much time management, too, as well as for everyone's needs of rest
mm-hmm.
and peace, you know, so there's not so much havoc in the process. But
mm-hmm.
definitely it's well worth it. I wouldn't trade it in for the life of me. If I could do this every day and I don't have to get paid, I would like to. I'm not going to put that out there that I don't want to get paid, but I could do it and not get paid because I love acting so much, and I love just creating and being behind the scenes and stuff like that and watching something that I was a part of, being able to be shown to someone else, that it's like, I can do it without being paid, but please pay me. You know, at least something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind. You know, I don't want to go
mm-hmm.
through every acting, every production and not get paid. But, of course, I've been blessed to being able to be paid on some. But I also take on a lot of non-pays, too, as well, just because,
mm-hmm.
you know, just to help out or fit in where I need to fit in or, you know, make sure someone else's vision and dream, when you see someone at their wits end and you're like, oh, you know what, I'll do it. You know, no problem. And they're like, really?
Exactly.
Oh,
and it helps you grow.
Yes,
it helps you
yes.
grow as an actor. It does.
Right. I'm
and
not
so,
trying to be stagnant and just be – I'm trying to be versatile, you know, and
mm-hmm.
be a chameleon when it comes to the acting. And I want
yeah,
to
I
be
had
able
a friend,
to see that within seconds I can do that.
Right. I had a friend call me after the premiere on Sunday and said, how'd it go? I said, it went really well. And they said, so what's next for you when it comes to the acting? I said, well, I have a radio interview on Monday, the 5th.
Yeah.
I have an audition that I have to get sent into Texas for a film down there. I have an audition that I need to get turned in for a commercial in New York. Plus, I have an audition that I need to get turned in for a pilot. And that one's
right.
going south. And they said, well, which one do you want to do? I said, no, you don't understand. I want to do all of them. They said, no,
right.
but seriously, which one do you want to do? I said, no, seriously, all of them.
They don't understand. They don't understand. It's not about picking one, you know. It's about if I can accomplish. That's the part of, see, that's the acting. Now, that's real acting. Is, you know, it's not the fact, though, that I submitted to one. It's the fact that I want to do all of them. And that's where our
mm-hmm.
acting comes into play, is that we have to act behind the scenes to act in front of the scenes. You know, so
exactly.
definitely, I get that. All right, so
like, you don't understand, this is the hardest work I've ever done,
right.
but I love it more than anything
right.
else I've ever done in my life. And
yes.
the more that I can do it, the happier a camper I'm going to be, and the closer I get to reaching my dream and not having to do the day job anymore.
Absolutely. And on that note, I'm a big believer in the importance of social media and many aspects of film and theater processes as well. Are you on social media, and do you use it in your work as well?
I do. I actually have a Facebook page that is just for people who want to follow me in my acting career. And it's you should be able to Google it. It's Ellen Pepper's Facebook page. And then so there's that. There's also IMDb. Like you mentioned before, Stage 32 is, like I said, another social media network for actors. And I try to keep that one updated as well with what's going on with my acting career. My Facebook page probably gets updated more than anything else does, so that one and IMDb. So those are the two to follow me on. Also, I am on Instagram, so they can find me there as well.
Awesome, definitely. Now, are you doing any Twittering or anything like that?
I was doing Twitter, but somehow Twitter account got shut off. I couldn't.
Oh,
I could,
no.
I could get all of my tweets that people were sending me, but I couldn't tweet back.
Oh,
so
man.
I don't know
I'm telling
what
you,
happened.
People don't realize how much work it is to put your work out there and to network. That
mm-hmm.
alone, you could take a 24-hour day, literally, and just do
mm-hmm.
that if you're blessed to do that within 24 hours, and you still will not fill up your Facebook, your IMDb, Stage 32,
mm-hmm.
Instagram, and Twitter, and have everything updated as far as what you've done for that day or that week or whatever have you
mm-hmm.
or what you got coming up. It's
exactly.
a lot of work behind that too as well, and that's one thing that we, you know, that's part of our job that we have to do for
mm-hmm.
ourselves is marketing. And, you know, of course we can get agents, of course we can get this and that, but even with the best agents in the world, you still personally have to have that one-on-one with your friends and your family and the people that love you, that they don't just want to talk to. That's like me. When I call AT&T, I'm going to use this as an example, and I hope that I don't get in trouble for doing this real quickly, but if I call AT&T, I don't want to speak to the automated system. I cannot stand speaking to the automated system. So I said that to say, you know, yes, we could have agents and all of that that helps us do things and puts us out there in the market, but
mm-hmm.
they don't want to speak to – I don't want to speak to your agent all the time, Ellen. I want to speak to you. I want to at least
mm-hmm.
once or twice out of the blue moon see that you've tweeted me or that you've responded back on your social media sites. And lo and behold,
mm-hmm.
you put a heart on something of mine. We don't realize how much that makes people stay as well, because people look up
mm-hmm.
to us as role models too as well in the process of the characters that we play and the things that we're doing, because we are living our dreams and we are pushing forth no matter what. You know, and I think that's where it comes into play more so than just the character roles, but the fact that
mm-hmm.
we're pushing and living dreams. And anytime that you're living out a dream, you have a glow on your face. I believe everyone has that. When we push past the 9-to-5s and our routines and we start stepping into our dreams, there's a certain glow. So automatically people are going to notice who you are, and they want to know, they want to sponge. They want to, you know, sit around you or at least hear from you. And it makes people's day,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be able to say, hey,
mm-hmm.
Ellen just tweeted back to me or gave me a heart. She just commented.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to say two words to that person. But you putting a heart
mm-hmm.
on something on your social media site and someone thinking that was for them, you just might have saved a life, literally. It's that serious.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I believe in that too as well. So you guys make sure that you follow Ellen on Facebook. You can get her under Ellen Pepper, ELLENPEPPER, IMDb, the same thing, put in Ellen Pepper, Stage 32, Instagram as well, Ellen Pepper. Or you can do like I always say, Ellen, and I tell people, not being big-headed, Google her. And Google will allow you to pull up Ellen Pepper, and, of course, you'll see her beautiful face pop up right away because she's pushing. Like when I said she's knocking down doors, when I type in your name, your pictures is one of the first pictures that pop up, and I'm pretty sure there's more than one Ellen Pepper in the world. So you're doing great things as to where Google is even noticing, you know. So don't take it for granted. Don't take it shorthanded. You know, take the highs and lows and keep it moving because you're doing great things. Not everybody can put their name in Google and actually pull their face up right away. Normally you got to kind of go through a few, like, wait a minute, that's me. Further down.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're doing great things for Google to actually have you at the top of the list.
What a
and being able to pull
Thank
up
you.
Your picture. Absolutely, definitely. And real quickly, I know that we're down to the mark. I told you it always, the hour goes by so quickly, and we try to feast all we can. But I want to give a quick rundown of your bio to everyone. I wanted you to know, this is quoting, I guess I won't be doing it because now my folks are home, so I am finishing up my actual show, and I'll give your bio. I have it on my on the Blog Talk link site, which you guys will be able to click on and actually go back and read her bio. I have it fully up there, and of course I'm going to post all week and all month the interview as well. Once it's done, Ellen, I'll make sure I get it to you too as well. I do want to thank you again for coming on and being my guest today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It was a pleasure. You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you. And I would love to have you back at any given time. Anything that you need from me, just, hey, give me a holler, and I'll definitely be there. And, again, you guys, remember that helping you helps us. This was the SOL Speak Out Loud Cast Versus Production with your girl, actress TCG, along with my co-host today, Ellen Pepper. The Ellen Pepper. Thank you, and have a good night.